welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hello.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today we are talking about season 5, episode 5 of One Tree Hill, titled I Forgot to Remember to Forget, which, fun fact, is a song by the one and only Elvis Presley.
Look at him.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, okay. That guy.
No. That guy. That, I heard of him.
That dude.
I was going to say something and it just totally left my brain. Oh, man. It's been one of those days. That's where we're at. So
yes, we are doing an After Dark, ladies and gentlemen. So whatever happens, who knows? One of us may or may not be in a Little Mermaid onesie.
Listen, it's cold in Minnesota.
Definitely not good.
No, it is not me.
And it's not Caitlin. It is cold in Minnesota. And I washed my hair and put on my onesie and watched some One Tree Hill. What else am I supposed to do on a Wednesday night?
We stan it. All right, so let's just dive right in because it's a doozy of an episode, kids. Here we go. We open on Lucas at his desk writing, and Lindsay asks him how it's going, but he says, well, not really that great right now. He's just playing with his thesaurus, which is hilarious. And she then shows him a picture of Lucas in college with Nathan and Whitey that she found. And she tells him she loves this picture of him because of how happy he looks in it, and asks him, you know, since this was before, you know, his book and meeting her, if he was happier before all of that. And he assures her that she makes him very happy and he wouldn't change a thing about what happened. And they hug and they hug. And as they hug, he looks at the photo over her shoulder, and we flash back to 3 years earlier to a 19-year-old Lucas Eugene Scott.
Yep. He is not very good at being jealous.
No, she's bad at it. She's real bad.
She's not very good at not being jealous.
She keeps
asking him leading questions.
Yeah.
That she said she'd never ask again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's the most jealous, chill girlfriend I have ever seen.
Oh, 100%.
So we, like I said, flashback to 3 years ago where we have Whitey. Whitey's here. Yay,
Whitey!
Yes. Yes, and he's giving his patented Whitey pep talk to the Cobras, which is the college team that Nathan plays for and Lucas assistant coaches for, as they are getting ready to play in the Division II championship game tomorrow night. And he sends the team home and says, you know, they all need to go home and go to bed, preferably alone. And as the team leaves, Lucas stays behind and tells Whitey that he's going to stay and watch some more game footage. And Whitey says that he's been a great assistant coach this year, and one day the team will be his. But today is not that day, so you still take orders from me, and you need to go home and go to bed. And he also tells him, by going to bed, that does not mean also having a late-night phone call with long-distance blondie girlfriend.
No. He says no late-night cyber chatting with long-distance blondie.
There it is. Thank you, Jesse.
Grandpa Whitey is hip to the lingo.
Grandpa Whitey is with it.
With the times.
Yes. It's great.
Cyber chat, which is...
cyber chatting.
Yes, and I love the fact that we get Whitey back, but I think I love even more the next scene when Nathan comes out and we see Haley and a baby toddler, Jamie.
Baby Jamie.
They are waiting for him, and Jamie says his first word to his mom and dad, which is, of course, ball.
Ball.
Ball. Yes. Mm. Yes. And Nathan's very happy. Nathan's very happy. He's like, yes, he's definitely my son. And Lucas comes out and he's like, yeah, he's a very smart child. He's looking more like me every day. So he's very lucky.
Yikes, Luke.
This is one of my favorite running jokes that they have about Jamie is how much he looks like Lucas.
Yes.
Because this is not a joke that dies.
Nope.
Good. Nope. Good.
It's still a thing. Yeah. Then we cut to that night where Haley is up with Jamie at 4:30 in the morning because Jamie just refuses to sleep. And Lucas comes in the living room and we find out that he can't sleep as well. And we infer from this that obviously Lucas, Nathan, and Haley and Jamie all live together in one house, which is absolutely adorable. And so Haley asks Lucas if Peyton is coming to the game, and Lucas says no, she can't make it because of work. And then their conversation kind of changes to dreams because Peyton is living her dream in L.A. And Haley tells him that she does miss her music sometimes when he asks her about it, especially when she sees Lucas chasing his dream of becoming a writer. And Lucas tells her, yeah, my dream is filled with nothing but rejection letters, but okay. And she tells him, as he gets up to go to bed, she tells him that he is a part of this family and always will be, because they wouldn't have been able to do all they've done, school, basketball, raise Jamie, without Lucas.
Nanny Lucas.
Nanny Uncle Lucas.
Right? Lucas. Yes. Nanny Uncle Lucas. It's great. Then we cut to the gym, and Nathan is there early shooting some hoops, and Lucas comes in, and Nathan tells him after tonight he may be considered a champion again instead of a point shaver. And Lucas says they're going to win tonight, little brother. And they start a drill that hard cuts to the basketball game, championship game. And Lucas is up on his feet coaching his heart out. Well, Whitey just kind of sits there and looks on. It's kind of hilarious.
He's so proud.
He's such a proud dad.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Grandpa Whitey is really like in full force.
Yes. And the game ends up tied near the very end of the last quarter of the game. And Lucas starts to take over the huddle, but stops himself and says, oh, sorry, coach. And Whitey then tells him, no. I told you that one day this team would be yours. And now is that time. And he tells him he's ready and to bring it home. And Whitey then walks out of the gym.
Ugh.
Lucas gives them the game plan. And as they get back to the court, Lucas asks Nathan to consider doing the fadeaway. And Nathan says the fadeaway's weak.
Yep. Running. Brother jokes.
Then the Cobras end up pulling off the win as Nathan shoots the game-winning basket right on the buzzer. And Whitey is grinning from ear to ear as he is watching from the locker room.
Yep.
Yay.
And they cut to Haley and baby Jamie in that audience. And Ben and I both, like, almost at the same time were like, someone get that kid ear protection.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So as the confetti rains down from the ceiling, we see Nathan and Haley embrace, and Lucas sees it, and he flashes back to when the Ravens won their state championship. And
flashback,
he confesses his love.
Flashback within a flashback. Flashback.
Yes. Where he, you know, they win the championship and he confesses his love to Peyton. And then we go to the locker room afterwards where Whitey congratulates Lucas on winning the game. And Whitey tells him he was always a great player, but he's an even better coach. And Whitey tells him that he's going to retire now. And he's already talked to the dean and the athletic director, and they've approved Lucas taking over as head coach of the Cobras. They've never had a student coach before, but they've also never had a winning season. So it's unusual, but they kind of don't care.
Is Luke like the fixer? Because like he's been brought in to fix the Ravens too.
Well, no, Whitey was the fixer for the Cobras and Lucas learned everything he needed to from Whitey. So I'm thinking he's taking what he learned from Whitey and now he's using it in the Ravens. So
yes. Okay. Yes.
So generational fixers, yes.
Yes.
Then Lucas asks Whitey what he's going to do now. And Whitey says, well, now that I'm retired, I'll probably go to basketball games and yell at the coach. And he just grins. Nothing but Whitey just grinning from ear to ear this episode.
Absolutely.
It's kind of great.
Yes.
And while that's happening, Nathan is getting interviewed. And when that's finished, Lucas asks him how it went. And Nathan is very excited to tell him that it's the first time in a year that he wasn't asked about point shaving. And as they're getting on the bus, one of the members of the losing team tell Nathan he is a cute kid. And will he teach him to shave points as well? And Nathan loses his mind and starts to go after the guy until Lucas breaks it up. This is the one and only time Whitey is not grinning from ear to ear, because Whitey has his patented, God damn it, those Scott boys.
Damn your sperm, Danny.
There it is.
I'm going to say, the eye roll reached the penitentiary where Danny's held.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Dan felt that eye roll in jail.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then we go to the bus on the way back, and Lucas gets an email from Peyton telling him to play this song when he wins the championship. And he listens to the song and he smiles. And Whitey goes to sit with Nathan and tells him that that was a great move that you did. And Nathan's like, yep, I knew it was going in the minute it left my hands. And Whitey's like, no, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about what you did to that jackass afterwards. And he says, I didn't put off my pension for you to beat up any jackass that heckles you. And yeah, Nathan apologizes, and Whitey tells him that he's worked hard for this season, but he has to be careful of his temper, or if he's not careful, that's the only thing he's going to have left.
Scary foreshadowing from Grandpa Whitey.
Everyone's life would be better if they just listened to Whitey the first time.
Yep. And Whitey tells him that he doesn't want him to look back in a couple of years and wonder what might have been, because they both know where that path leads. And Nathan just goes, yep, Dan. And Whitey ends up congratulating him on that last shot one last time before he gets up and he starts to go up and sit next to Lucas. And Lucas asks Whitey how this night ranks in his 37 years of coaching. And Whitey says this night is number 3. Number 2 was when the Ravens won the state championship. And the first was the night Camilla agreed to go with him on this 37-year coaching career. Mm. And he and Whitey have had a little, and I forgot to mention it before, but they have a little thing that they tag on after their little talks to each other about how there's more to life than basketball. And Lucas reiterates that same sentiment to Whitey about how there's more important things than basketball. And Whitey definitely agrees with him. And Lucas asks if he can be dropped off by the airport. And Whitey again just grins from ear to ear and says he'd be happy to.
Cute.
Aww. It's very cute. Very cute. Very cute. Then, still 3 years ago, we see Peyton, who is in the copy room banging on some copy machine that won't make a copy for her, when someone comes in and says there's a call for her on line 1. She answers it, and it is Lucas. And he cheekily asks her what she's wearing. And she's like, Lucas, I can't do that. I'm at work. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm betting it's this, 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 and this, which he describes perfectly because he's in L.A. and he's right there behind her. And she's very excited. They start smooching in the mailroom and he looks around and he's like, marketing and distribution. And she's like, yeah, I kind of maybe embellished. She works in the mailroom. Yeah.
Well, she is distributing.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I mean, she's not wrong. And he does say that. He's like, well, I guess in LA, you kind of have to embellish everything. And she's like, well, you know, it's what it is.
Like, but I wouldn't be surprised if her actual job title was something like that.
Right?
Like something about distributing something. Like, mm-hmm. Just knowing the like trumped up like job titles I've read in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he kind of tells that he believes that she's better than what she's doing, but she tells him she's excited because she knows this is a good jumping off point, because she shows him an office where there was a girl who was in the same position she was 3 months ago. And now she's a junior A&R exec. And he's like, okay, well, I have a surprise. We have reservations for dinner tonight at 8:00. And she's like, oh, okay. And he's like, is that too late? She's like, no, it's too early. We typically don't get off till about 9:00. He's like, fine, 9:30. And, yeah.
Caitlin's
just shaking her head. Not how that goes.
Shaking her head. Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah. So then we cut to the dinner where Peyton comes in and she's obviously late, but it's fine. And Lucas is all dressed up in a suit and he looks very nice. And they start talking and they talk about how much Peyton loves L.A. and how Lucas is going to take over the team from Whitey. And she's very excited for him. And she does comment to him that it's all very adult before she gives him a mixed CD of songs that haven't hit the radio yet. Cool. Kind of illegal, Peyton, but that's fine.
I mean, she works in the mailroom. Like,
okay. See, here's the thing.
go off, queen. Go off, queen.
She works in the mailroom and is not afraid to illegally download private, unreleased music to a CD to give to her boyfriend, because that's not risking her job, but if she doesn't leave in the middle of dinner, she's risking her job.
Yep.
Welcome to TV show land.
I don't care. It's not how it works.
No, I know. It's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. But yes, then he tells her that he also has something he wants to give her, but her phone rings and it's work, like Caitlin said, and she has to go back into work or else she would probably lose her job. But he tells her they can, you know, have dessert when she's done in their room that he reserved for them at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. Ooh.
Ooh. That's one of the settings of the film Beverly Hills.
Who would have thunk that one?
Right? Aren't they at the Beverly Hilton? I don't know. Cut that out.
I mean, it's a real hotel.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just, it's literally my, cut that. Bad joke. Next.
Oh, no, it's staying in now. No. It's staying in now.
You're doing amazing, sweetie. Thank
you. You're doing amazing, Ariel. Okay, now I'll cut.
Okay.
And we're cutting. Okay. And reset for the next segment. There we go. And here we go. So then we go to Lucas, who is in his hotel room with the Beverly Hilton, and he's waiting all night for Peyton to come, but he falls asleep with a ring box. Dot, dot, dot.
Yikes.
And Lucas wakes up, and he sees Peyton sitting in the chair across the room with said ring box, and he asks her how long she's been there, and she's like, about an hour. And she asks him what this is, the ring box. And she says she hasn't opened it, but she does tell him how much she loves him. And Lucas then, I'm just going to preface this. There's a long thing here, kids. So stay with me here. We'll dissect it all when it's done. But there's no good stopping point from here on. So buckle up, kids. Here we go for this bumpy ass ride. Ready?
Yikes. You ready for Lucas to fuck things up? Buckle up.
Here we go, kids. So he then takes the box from Peyton and starts to propose to her, or he tries to propose. And Peyton tells him it's not that simple, as they just love each other. They have a lot that they would need to discuss and talk about. And Lucas says, well, they can talk about all that when they go back to Tree Hill. And Peyton explains that she knows that Tree Hill is home for him and she misses it sometimes. But for her, Tree Hill is two dead moms, a psycho stalker, and a lot of drama that she had to go to LA to get away from. And Lucas says, fine, then he can just move to LA. But Peyton says he cannot leave his dream and that coaching job because he would wake up one day and resent her just like she would if he ever asked her to leave LA. Lucas then says that she's just getting coffee and mail for people and she was doing more than that in Tree Hill. And Peyton appreciates his belief in her, but she says she needs to prove that to herself first. And she tells him they both have so much they want to do with their lives, and they're only 19 years old. And Lucas says, yeah, but Nathan and Haley got married way younger than that. And Peyton then reminds him how easy that was for them. Hello. And she says, let's wait a year. Let's see how this year goes, and we can talk about it next year. And Lucas says that they've only seen each other three times this year, and he feels like they're already drifting apart. And he realizes that she's saying no to the proposal, but Peyton tells him it's not a no, it's just a not right now, and that she wants to marry him someday. And she tells him she loves him so much, but he says it's not enough. And Peyton then asks if they can just rewind to before he woke up because she's afraid tonight will end with, and Lucas finishes the sentence for her and says goodbye. And she hugs him as they snuggle on the bed. And then we hard cut to the next morning where Lucas wakes up before Peyton leaves the mixed CD she gave him on the pillow. And he says goodbye to Peyton as he leaves the hotel room. Peyton wakes up and finds the CD.
Gah. Come on.
I have a lot of thoughts.
So many thoughts.
Let's unpack the moving truck full of thoughts that we all have on this. So who would like to go first?
I can.
Yeah.
So number one, it just occurred to me while you were reciting this back that Peyton tried to do this to Jake.
Oh my God. She did.
Because, and she even used the, well, Nathan and Haley did it argument with Jake.
Oh my God.
And Jake was like, baby, no.
Just a little bit of history repeating. It's fine.
Woof.
And which I mean, good, which I guess is good because she learned from it when Lucas proposed to her. But yeah. So I realized that. Number two, it's nice to see that Lucas is still gaslighting people. I'm so glad some things haven't changed. Because just like,
what is, okay, there is a movie where two people break up because the guy essentially says your whole job is getting coffee and I'm blanking on it, but something really pinged in my brain that, oh, it's Coyote Ugly. Sorry. It's her Australian boyfriend is like, all you're doing is serving drinks and shaking your ass on a bar. You're singing karaoke, yes, on a bar. And yep. Piper Perabo in that movie reacts correctly to that line of thought. And she says, go fuck yourself, you unsupportive asshole. Mm-hmm. Peyton reacts saying, thank you. What, Peyton?
Well, I think what her stance on it is that he believes in her. And she's like, thank you for believing in me. But I need to prove this to myself first before I do anything else. So I don't think her response is that bad. Still him saying, you know, that all you do is get coffee and everything, so you should move home to Tree Hill and be Mrs. Lucas Scott, coach of the Division II Cobras college team. Barf.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get into it, but there's a whole thing afterwards where someone basically goes, are you stupid, to Lucas? And it's the best thing ever.
Yes.
But we'll get there. We'll get there.
No, surprise, surprise, Lucas Eugene Scott is completely out of line here. They have not discussed for a second getting married.
You mean
married.
Lucas Eugene Scott makes a rash decision?
A rash, boneheaded decision, yes, and ruins Peyton's life. Like, this is not the first time this has happened to Peyton.
Again, just a little bit of history repeating.
God, it's so frustrating. And then... later in this episode, he's like, Peyton broke up with me. I'm like, no, 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 she did not, my friend.
No.
God. He's back on my shit list, y'all. He's back.
Okay.
See, the thing is, he never left mine because I knew this was coming.
But see, Caitlin, you and I know better. And I'm, yeah. You know, he's on my
team Lucas anyway.
I'm team Lucas anyways.
Gas like gatekeep girl boss.
But he's on my shit list. This last couple episodes, he's on my shit list. So yeah, he's
got it. It's only gonna get worse.
It's great. Fine. Very it's excited.
Fine. Something to look forward to, kids. All right.
No, even just like in this episode, it's only gonna get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So then are we done bashing Lucas right now? We'll have other opportunities, but right now, are we good? For now? Okay, good. Okay.
Give me 20 minutes.
Great, 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 great. Then we cut to Lucas, who is at the airport, and tells the woman at the ticket desk that he has to go back home sooner than expected. And then his phone rings, and it is a new publisher who just started. Her name is Lindsay Strauss. And she tells him she read his novel and tells him that she loved his novel and her boss felt the same way. So she tells him that they want to publish his novel and ask him how soon he can be in New York. Lucas is very, very happy and tells the woman at the ticket office that he needs to go to New York now. And he immediately starts to call Peyton, but stops himself. And we then just get a real quick scene of Peyton at work in tears as she's delivering the mail. And the same jackass dude who before we didn't really mention was like, yeah, I need a coffee and you get me a bagel, to Lucas, who doesn't even work there, completely oblivious. And she just says she needs a minute and she's in tears and she says, I need a minute. So Peyton is obviously devastated, of course. Then in New York, we see Lucas at this party or this bar with some people who work at the publishing company. And it's one guy who's
wildly underdressed.
Yes, wildly underdressed and underage, I might add.
Yep.
There's that. No one cares.
It's a fun version of New York City where no one cards anyone ever.
Exactly. Yes. So this guy's like, oh, yeah, no, I like your book, but we have to change this, 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 and the title. And he's like, what? And Lindsay drags him away and says that everyone says they should change the title. I like your title. But she does admit that his novel will be her first novel that she ever edits. And she admits that there's a lot of work ahead of them for the next 6 months to get the book ready. It's going to be like they're married. Ha, 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 ha.
And then so, we find out she is the what owner of the company's daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Her dad is like works either owns for it or works for them or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But also it was during this scene when she was talking to him and low key flirting with him and being like, yeah, it's going to be like we're married, that I sat here and a light bulb went off in my head and was like, wow, Maria Menounos and Lindsay Strauss could be related.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this Uncle Keith Lucas parallel,
right?
That's happening right now.
Yeah,
because like that's a thing.
Okay, an aggressive rebound.
Yes. Rebound. And I mean, yeah, but just the fact that it's like that parallel of like, oh, she even kind of looks like Jules.
Right. Yeah. And before she leaves, she does ask him. She says, the Luke and Peyton in the novel. And she's inferring, like, did they make it? And Lucas says, no, they did not make it. And Luke, then Lindsay says she's sad because she was rooting for them. Daw.
I am curious. I because I can't remember if it's ever discussed until. No, I don't can't remember if it ever gets discussed at all. But like, if she like, does Lindsay know the extent of Peyton? No. And Lucas's history?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Just that they're the Peyton and Luke from the book and they broke up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yikes.
Yep.
That's a big fat fucking yikes right there.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, Lucas has never been the best at communicating things to women he's in relationships with. So
that's true.
I mean, Lindsay got more backstory than any of the other girlfriends he's ever had because, well, there's a novel.
She read the book.
Because he wrote a fucking book about it. So he doesn't have to tell future partners anything. He's like, here, read this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, then after Lindsay leaves, a server at the bar says there is someone who is asking to see Lucas and to tell him that they are someone from Tree Hill. And she leaves and the crowd parts and there is a wild Brooke Davis in New York City, ladies and gentlemen.
Queen.
And
there
turns out that Lucas sent her a message saying that he was going to be in town and she's very happy he is. And they hug and they leave that bar and go to her house where they hang out. And she tells him how her mom came from L.A. to New York to help her with Clothes Over Bros and how she wants to expand the brand. And she tells him that she's afraid to do all that, you know, with the makeup line and magazine and all this kind of stuff, because if they do, she feels that maybe the company won't be as much hers anymore. And Lucas says he's in the same position with Lindsay and his book because she said they were going to have to make edits and all that kind of stuff. And Brooke then changes the subject and says, wow, these are really hard problems to have. But how's Peyton taking all of it? Because it's got to be amazing news, right? And Lucas tells her that they broke up. And Brooke is definitely in disbelief at first. And then she asks what happens. And Lucas tells her he went to LA to ask her to marry him. And she said no. And Brooke gives the best response ever by saying, are you stupid? You stormed LA and went all naily on her. And did you even buy a ring? And Lucas didn't, shows her the ring. And it's very impressive and shuts Brooke up. And he tells her she never even saw it. And Brooke asks how that can happen. And Lucas is like, well, I did this. And he gets down on one knee to start to propose, you know, to fake propose. And Victoria walks in and has a heart attack, honestly. It's hilarious. And Brooke tells him, oh, no, you definitely did it right.
Oh. Ill-advised love interest proposes to ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
I know that is one of the blanks I did not need filled in. I did not need Victoria calling Lucas an ill-advised love interest. I did not need the backstory on that. But now right? that I have it, though, I am glad to have it.
Right? It's great. It's great. Yes. So then they go out and have a drink and Brooke finds it hilarious that he gave her mother a heart attack, basically. And he's mortified. She thinks it's entertaining. And she says that he and Peyton will definitely work things out. And but then Lucas, who is obviously hurt, says, how often have you and Peyton talked lately? And she says, well, not a whole lot. And, you know, he basically says, well, you haven't really talked at all, have you? And Lucas says, things have definitely changed between everybody. And Brooke says, that's just the hurt talking. And she tells him they just need to get good and drunk tonight. And but first she needs to see the ring again. And as she's looking at it, a waitress assumes that she just got proposed to and says, oh my God, we have a proposal. And everyone starts applauding and they say free champagne, which immediately you can take Brooke Davis out of Tree Hill, but you can't take the Tree Hill out of Brooke Davis. When someone says free stuff, she immediately goes, yes, please. And
especially if it's free alcohol.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So Brooke immediately goes with it, takes the ring out of the box and puts it on her finger and says, well, it's free champagne on the house. I love her. She's
God.
God, I love it.
Yep.
Yep. So good. Then we go to later that evening and we find out they've been getting free drinks all over Midtown Manhattan. It's great. They've had a great time. Great time. Obviously, when you have an engagement ring, nobody cards you either for two 19-year-olds to get wasted in New York City. It's fine.
Listen. I turned 21 in New York City, and let me tell you how impossible it was to even go to a bar after dark with friends who were over 21. Like, it was so hard to do anything until I turned 21. I don't know how these two, I know Brooke has like the most perfect, ridiculous fake ID ever, but come on.
Like, yeah.
And right? The patented nose crinkle.
Of course.
Yes. So then as they're walking down the street, they are offered a horse-drawn carriage ride. And when they find out they just got, quote unquote, engaged, the ride is, of course, free. So they get on the carriage ride and the driver asks what their future plans are. And Lucas and Brooke weave this whole crazy story of how he's going to be a successful novelist. She's going to be this, successful fashion designer. They're going to have tons of kids, two boys and a girl. He'll coach Little League. She'll buy the treats. And then they'll have a beach house in the summer and it'll be perfect. And the driver says that all sounds great and success is nice, but finding that person to love you back is where it's at.
Ah, yes. There is the salt for that wound.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That open, gaping wound.
Yes.
That
yes.
In both of their hearts, because Brooke is, we can assume, single at this point.
Right.
But yeah, I would assume poor Chase is not in the picture anymore.
Right.
Do we find out what happens to him, or is he just gone?
I can't remember.
No, I don't either.
I can't remember if we find out what happens.
No. Okay. Yeah.
The way you guys spoke about him last season, I thought he was going to stick around for longer. I'm not going to lie. But.
We like Chase. What can we
shrug. Say? Okay. That's all right.
Chase was great while he was around. Chase was great. So then back to Brooke and Lucas, and she takes Lucas back to his hotel room, and he is very, very wasted. And he's like, oh, the bed is spinning. And Brooke tells him, well, first mistake here, Brooke Davis, is you start to undress Lucas Eugene Scott while he's drunk. Because she's like, we're just going to get you in some jammies and get you in bed, and then I'm going to go home. I'm like, excuse me, Brooke, but okay. but as she's undressing him, he basically says, oh, no, or you could stay. And he goes to kiss her. And he's successful until she pulls away and tells him that that's the second dumbest thing he's done in 24 hours and tells him that they're not in high school anymore. And she says she loves Peyton. And even if he doesn't want to admit it right now, he does too. And he admits that he feels lost and he doesn't know what to do without her. And Brooke reminds him of when she started.
He's so sad.
His eyes are wide open and he is sad as hell.
Yep.
It's the one time this episode where I'm like, I feel bad for you, Lucas. I really do. Because he's so sad. I know it's of his own doing.
Yeah.
But still, that boy is broken.
Yeah.
Sad boy.
Chad Michael Murray broods a lot. We know he broods a lot. He's a good brooder. But I've said it a million times before. He's an even better
sad boy.
He's such a good sad boy. Like.
Yep. He's so good at that. Yeah. But she tells him, you know, when he broke up with her in high school, that's when she started close over bros because she needed to focus on something else besides him and their breakup. And she tells him he needs to find that for himself. And she tells him she's going to leave and he's probably not going to see her for a while. But she does give him the ring back and gives him the same line he gave her from the novel, but uses his name. And she says, Lucas Scott is going to change the world one day, and he doesn't even know it. And she kisses him on the forehead, and she leaves. And Lucas looks down and sees the ring in his hand that she left him. Then Brooke gets home, and Victoria immediately starts berating her about getting married so young, but Brooke tells her it was a joke. And Victoria is relieved and tells her she has far too much to lose to get married. And Brooke quietly says that Lucas Scott was the one guy she would have lost it for. She then asks Victoria about love and asks if that's the key to happiness and everything. And Victoria reminds her that it's clothes over bros, dear. And then Brooke agrees to extend the fashion brand to the makeup line, the magazine, the couture line, all of that stuff. And Victoria is elated. And also tells Brooke to start calling her Victoria, not Mom, because it makes her seem old.
Yes, Lucas was very sad, and he was a sad boy, and I understand that he did what he did because he was a sad boy, but I felt really awful for Brooke in that moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're not that far removed from the history between the three of them.
No.
And
no.
Since Chase doesn't get mentioned once, they're clearly not together anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, like, she's probably already sad herself. And mm-hmm. now there's this. And it's just like, I didn't catch it when she said that. He wasn't going to see her for a while.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then I heard you say it back and I was like, wait, no, this makes sense because he probably just, even if it was unintentional, he probably just really hurt her fucking feelings.
Well, I think that's what she means by we're not in high school anymore. Like we're not mm-hmm. in high school. We can't keep bouncing around this love triangle, you mm-hmm. know, of the small town yeah. like we did for the last 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for her until she says, you know, that's the second dumbest thing you've done in 24 hours. Because, yes, I'm sure Brooke is sad about it, but Brooke has an awareness and a maturity about it now that it's like, all right, homegirl, she'll be fine. She's going to be a little, you know, down in the dumps for maybe a day, but she'll be fine. And you can tell that it made a lasting effect on her when she does say quietly, you know, that Lucas Scott was the one guy she may have lost it all for, which is very yeah. out of the blue for me, but very also still very much in character with Brooke Davis, because I don't think she ever stopped loving Lucas ever.
No.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So, yeah. Then still 3 years ago, we're now at the Nathan and Haley Scott household, and they are trying desperately to get Jamie to say either ball or guitar. And it's absolutely adorable. And Haley is a losing battle because ball is one syllable. Guitar is two syllables. The infant will not say guitar, Haley. Sorry.
She could have picked a better word. She could have picked song, drum. Right. And, nice. Like, there's so
any other
many.
Any other one syllable musical term.
La, 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 la. So easy right? for a baby. Come right? on, Hales.
yeah. No, no, no. She's already, listen, she's expecting
she is
the best.
The mother of a toddler. She is sleep deprived. Her brain is not right? working.
this like, is true.
Yes. yes. And while they're doing that, Nathan says thank you to Haley for helping him make his dreams come true and that nothing is going to stop them now.
This is very Aww. Cute. This is very, this is very cute. Cute. Oh,
they're very cute with their baby and
with
everything.
The baby right. and they're right. snuggling and they're yes. playing the little basketball.
Mm. Yep. And then we cut to Peyton, who is at work and she's very sad. And we see a door get slammed in her face, which is a metaphor for many other things going on in her life, obviously. But yeah, Peyton's a sad girl now at work in LA. Then Lucas is waiting for his first meeting with Lindsay in New York with a lucky bamboo plant. Turns out the friend that gave Lindsay the bamboo was Lucas. And she loves the plant, but tells him she has to check on something, and she excuses herself. While Lucas is left alone in her office, he looks down and opens up the ring box with Peyton's ring in it one last time. And that is the point it flashes back to the present, where Lucas is looking at the same ring and stashes it in the dresser drawer again.
Ben got very worried that he's going to try to propose to Lindsay with the same ring. He's like, Luke, you can't use the same ring, but he got very worried. Very worried.
So then Lindsay comes in and asks him if he's still taking a trip down memory lane. And he says, yeah. And she says, well, maybe you should write some of it down and make us some money. And she laughs and he laughs and he says he's actually going to go for a walk. And then we go to Nathan and Haley, and Haley has taken the trophies of Nathan's that Jamie had hid in his closet. And she's now displaying them back out in the living room. And she tells him that she tells Nathan that he should never be ashamed of any of his achievements. And Nathan admits that he's ashamed of the person he's been the last few months. And he tells her they aren't the couple they used to be, but they'll get there. And then they kiss, and it's very sweet and adorable.
Nathan is finally going to get to fuck his wife.
I literally said exactly that. were shirt grabs,
the way
there were
that
hair
Haley
grabs.
Kissed him.
Yeah.
That was not going to be brief.
No.
Are we trying for baby number two kind of situation here? Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Then the last scene is Lucas comes over to Brooke and Peyton's asking to see Peyton. And Brooke says, no, she's not here. She's at the studio. And he reminds her of that night in New York and asks her if she ever wonders if she chose the wrong path. And Brooke admits she does sometimes, but she says if she hadn't done what she did, she wouldn't have everything she has in her life right now. And Lucas agrees. And she asks him if he wants her to tell Peyton that he stopped by, but he says, don't bother. And as he's walking out, Brooke asks him if he still loves Peyton. And Lucas does not answer, but just says that he needs to get back to Lindsay. And as he leaves out the door, Brooke laughs to herself and says that this is going to get very interesting. And the episode ends.
Caitlin, before we do our wrap up, but to go back to your question, if Lindsay knows, Lindsay has absolutely snooped through Lucas's drawers. I think she knows there's a ring in there. 100%. It's just when she found that ring, I think, when she started snooping through his drawers. I think there is a possibility that she knows Lucas proposed to someone. I just thought of that while we were talking about that last scene when he's looking at the ring and she walks in and he's like, hide it, you know?
See, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because at this point, Peyton and Brooke have only been back in town for what?
A couple of weeks now? Two, 3 weeks. Yeah.
And Lindsay is only just now starting to become wildly unhinged about her jealousy of these two women being back in town. So I don't know if I agree that she's snooped. I would like to think that maybe Lucas told her.
Just some casual snooping? Not even unhinged snooping. Just like, what's he got going on in here? You know?
I don't think Lindsay had anything to worry about for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She's nothing to worry about.
Right.
He keeps telling her she has nothing to worry about. And then all of a sudden, he's inspired to write a book and he's going on random walks. And Peyton's back.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know if she would have done that yet.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I'm not
or
talking.
She may have considered it.
Yeah, I'm not talking paranoid snooping. I'm talking, I'm spending the night at my boyfriend's house for the first time and he's in the bathroom. Casual snooping. Does no one else do that?
No. I have never done that in my entire life.
Yeah.
What?
Never.
I
swear to you.
Not even a casual, open the medicine cabinet to see what's going on in there?
No, because he didn't have a medicine cabinet.
Okay, well. Okay.
But even if he did, it's not my business.
Like, And I'll even say, like, the dynamic is she doesn't live in Tree Hill. Right. She lives in New York, and she's just there visiting. So I'm assuming she's got a drawer where she unpacks her suitcase that she has, that she puts her stuff in, and that's it. And it's still very much, you know, it's, yeah, I don't even know if Lucas really feels that this is his house. I think it's, he still feels like it's his mom's house, because nothing has changed in that house. Yeah. Exactly. Nothing has changed in that house since Karen left.
It's true.
So there's that.
Okay, let me put it this way. If I were Lindsay, I would know that ring was there.
You see, if you were Lindsay, you wouldn't have put up with Lucas's bullshit long enough to be with him for the last 2 years.
Correct.
Yes.
Or really, so for the last 2 weeks since Brooke and Peyton came back.
Exactly. Correct. Exactly.
Because if I were Lindsay and Peyton was back home, I would not be nearly as chill as Lindsay is trying to be.
No.
If Peyton and Brooke were both home.
Yeah.
Hello.
If they were both back in town and I had spent a year or 6 months or whatever editing and promoting a love letter to the both of them, I would not have even a modicum of chill.
Yeah.
Like, I would be that bitch that's like, I have a problem with this.
Right. Not even pretend chill.
I will not even have pretend chill. I would not be chill. I would maybe be chill to Brooke and Peyton's faces, but Lucas would know that I am very much not chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, Lindsay.
Poor.
Yeah, Menounos. Except not great value because they're both beautiful.
Right. Kirkland.
You know what I mean.
Brand. Yeah, Kirkland's finest, Maria Menounos.
Oh, God.
Kirkland is much nicer than great value.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, God. Okay. Anything else we want to unpack about that, honestly, or are we good?
I'm good now. I have some reflecting to do on myself after this conversation.
I'm sure you are not alone, Jesse. It's fine.
You're definitely if not you alone. Have also,
here's what I'm going to say. If you have ever snooped in your significant other's drawers or cabinets or anything, let us know. So Jesse does not feel as alone as she does right now in this moment.
Not a malicious snoop, just a casual, like, what kind of undies does he have going on in there? What? Come on. Don't look at me like that, guys. I just alienated myself again. Like, it was getting better, and then I said that.
Oh, God. And on that note, guys, we're just going to wrap it up. Here we go. Thank you guys so much
episode.
For listening.
It was a great episode.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Oh, don't forget to like, rate us 5 stars, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out in the long run with those lovely podcast algorithms. Follow us on social media. We are everywhere you can get social media at On Wednesdays Pod. Drop us a line in the Instagram or Facebook comments or the Instagram DMs if you've also snooped through drawers and things, because we need to now know this stuff. That's, you know, that's your call to action, your kids. Do it. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, and we'll see if we snoop through somebody else's drawers. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.